So we left off yesterday discussing the machlokes that Tanoim that appears in Gittin and Abchaz about oil zorok. We know that the halakha is that the person is in the same oil with the mace, so the person becomes tamei unless there's an oil hamafsik, unless there's some other kind of a structure that serves as a barrier between where the mace is and where the person is. The person would be inside a room, there would be a mace 20 feet at the other end of the room. Of course, he would become tamei unless he's totally enclosed, he's totally covered over with such a object that has the potential to be mafsik between a tumah. So the Gemara in Masechet Gittin Daf Ches got into a whole discussion, really tangentially, about Eretz Ha'amim, about Chutz La'aretz. Started out discussion in terms of Gittin, then it branched down to other areas of halacha. That Eretz Ha'amim is considered to be tameh mid the Rabbanon. Eretz Ha'amim has the status like a basic kvaros mid the Rabbanon. So the question was, what if a person goes into Eretz Ha'amim, but he's totally enclosed with something, but that object that he's enclosed with is what's called an ol zarak, something that's moving or in some shape or form moving. So what would that halacha be? Is that considered to be an oil hamafsik or not? It's oil zorik. Shmei oil zorik lav shmei oil. So it was machlekes at Tanoim. So we left off yesterday with a three-way machlekes and Rishonim. What's the case? What's the scenario? What is the oil zorik that the Gemara is discussing? It's critical for us because most Rishonim baskin, the oil zorik lav shmei oil. Something which is moving doesn't constitute an oil hamafsik. So we have three different possibilities yesterday. So we said that the Rambam had the extreme position about Ol Zorak. The Rambam says that Ol Zorak is only considered to be an Ol Zorak. It only is not, it's like a double negative, but it's the only problem that an Ol Zorak is not mafsik is only if it's literally in midair. If it's Zorak, Shiva Kamash Bal, it's thrown in the air, it's in midair, then it's not mafsik. The fact that it's moving on the ground, driving, moving, someone carrying it, that's irrelevant. Such an Ol can be mafsik, according to the Rambam. And Tosfos disagree. Tosfos said that anytime it's moving in any shape or form, whether in midair, whether it's being thrown on the ground, whether it's being dragged on the ground, whatever it is, if it's moving, that's not considered to be an ohel. And Rabbi Chananel was the biggest machmer. Rabbi Chananel said, even if it's not moving now, but it could move, it's something that's omer v'kach to move, that's normal to move, even that's considered to be an ohel zorak, which wouldn't be masik with the atumah. So three shittas in the Mishnah, the Rambam one extreme, Rabbi Chananel the other extreme, and the Balei Tosfos in the middle. So we spent a lot of time at the end of the shiur yesterday discussing how this all fits into the Sugya Masechet Sukkah, where the Gemara speaks about when they used to have this chumrah, when they used to prepare the paraduma, they would make sure that the kohanim who were involved in it were tor, without any shilas, any stakes, no issues of tumah whatsoever. So one of the methods that they would employ was they would take these little children who had never become tameh, and they would transport them out to go collect the water for the paraduma. They would transport them on these boards that were being carried by the animals, and presumably those boards would be mafsik. Even if the animals by some chance would walk over a mace, it wouldn't be a problem because the board would serve as a davar mafsik. So the Rishonim jumped and said, what happened to the issue of all Zorak? So we said the Rambam had his teretz, sometimes had his teretz, but it's everyone had their teretz to the Ritvoyas that we spoke about, how to get around that problem. What happened to the issue of all Zorak? There is one other teretz that I suggested that doesn't appear in the Rishonim, that appears in the Pnei Yeshua, but it's an eye-opener in terms of the sugya of Ol Zorak, and it's going to affect us in terms of how we view the sugya of the halachas as we proceed with the sugya today. So the Pnei Yeshua, in Masechet Sukkah, the second paragraph where the sugya appears, so comes the Pnei Yeshua and says, Kusha mei kor aleisa. That whole question that the Rishonim, that the Balei HaTosfos, and our sugya were bothered with, and the Rambam dealt with, and the Ritva dealt with, how could they transport the children Kohanim on those boards? How could the board serve as a davar mafsik? Typically, it would be labeled as an ol zoruk. So, whereas each Rishon had explained away, gives us a dochuk as to why, for some quirk, it's not an ol zoruk, says the Pnei Yeshua, the question is better than the answer. It is an ol zoruk. How does that solve the problem? Ol zoruk is lav shmei ol. Says the Pnei Yeshua, where does this halacha come from, that Ol Zorak Lav Shmei Ol? Who started this halacha? So, women who started this halacha, we thought the Torah started this halacha. So comes the Bishop and says, nah, Ol Zorak Min HaTorah, of course it's considered to be an Ol. Where does it say the Chumash is not an Ol? Kach Nemra Halacha Moshe Mesinai, then Ol HaMafsik Bifnei HaTumah is Mafsik, and finished. The fact that it's Zorak, that's a Chumah Midirabonon. Because Midirabonon doesn't look right. It looks funny that this is not an Ol. People will say, this is not a Dabra Masuk. This is moving. This is a plane. This is a car. This is being just running around. There's no Shitatel Migdal in midair. So people are going to confuse. People are going to think that this is not a real Dabra Masuk. So Midirabonon, the Chum said, we're not going to give it all the coolers of a Dabra Masuk. But you want to push comes to shove in a Torah? About the Minatorah, Ol Zorak, Ishmei Ol. So comes the Peshua and says, therefore, in the Sugya in Sukkah, which was a chumrah, that we're afraid that maybe this child's going to be riding on the ox, and the ox is going to walk on a mace, and a whole story, a whole chashash. Says the Pereshua, they were only chashash for Shalas deraisa. They were chashash for Tumas deraisa. Something which is going to be only a chumrah midrabban. Anyway, yeah, Shmuel, they said the whole thing is a chumrah, gabi chumrah. Forget it, don't worry about all Zara. So the Pereshua, in one fell swoop, takes on all the Rishonim. Now the Rishonim give that answer. Taisos and Dabchaz didn't give that answer. Taisos Chagiga didn't give that answer. And the Ritvah yesterday from Sukkah didn't give that answer. And the Ram didn't give that answer. Every Rishon we spoke about yesterday took that Gemara with the utmost seriousness, took our Sukkah and Dabchaz with the utmost seriousness, and says, how could it be that the boards are Mafsik, typically that Ol Zorot is Lav Shmei Ol? And each Rishon gave a different explanation. So today Yeshua, who ignored all those Terutzim, says, Ruwe and Mustafin, if not for all the Rishonim, he would have given the following Kiddush, that the whole Chumrah of Ol Zorot is only a Chumrah Midrabanon, so it seems to be against all the Rishonim. But the issue that the Bnei Yeshua is touching on is critical for us. Namely, all the shailas that we have to discuss now, the issues of Ol Zorot Lamaisa, are we in a realm of Deraisa, or in a realm of Midrabanon? Are we really worried on a level of Deraisa, or are we saying, this whole thing is only a Chumrah B'Yama Midrabanon? So according to the Rav Rishonim, the Pashas and the Rishonim, we have a Deraisatic issue on the hand. We have to take this issue of Ol Zorot with the utmost seriousness. And according to Beshua, the whole thing is a Chumrah Midrabanon. Min HaTorah, there's no problem with Ol Zorot. Min HaTorah, even an Ol Zorot is considered to be an Ol Zorot. So Koponim, we have a little bit of a background to the issue of Ol Zorot. We know the three Shittas in Rishonim from yesterday. And we now know the issue that the Yeshua has raised, which seems to be against the Rishonim. Now we have to begin to try to analyze this sugya of Ol Zorot, with the Shmei Olav Shmei Ol, as it plays out in terms of Lamaisa for us. So we mentioned yesterday the Shita Satosis, which seems to be like the mainstream Shita, like the middle of the road Shita, that what's considered to be an Ol Zoruk, Satosis says, if it's in mid-air, then it's a Vavid Ol Zoruk. Satosis had a Chiddush, that even the Tanoim who say that Ol Zoruk Shmei Ol will agree that if it's in mid-air, that's out of question. Ol that's flapping in the wind, flying in the air, is not considered to be an Ol. Tosu said the machlokas of Tanoim in Gittin Avches was about an oil that's not in mid-air, but rather an oil that's moving, like the Shita table, Migdol of Asugim. So comes the Mishnah Melech and Uchas to Mesmeis with a tremendous Kiddush. Comes the Mishnah Melech and says, when did Tosu say that an oil Zorok is not considered to be an oil because it's moving? That's like the case in Asugim. What was the Shita table, Migdol of Asugim? So you have this guy who wants to enter into Chutzlaretz, but he wants to remain a Tohor. So they put him inside a box, and they get four strong guys to carry the box, and the box is being transported through the basic Kavara. So the box is being transported through Eretz Amim, through Chutzlaretz, but the box is not touching the ground. The box is not being dragged along the ground. The box is being suspended in midair. So it's not being suspended like the Rambam's Ol Zorot, but at least it's not having any contact with the ground. So comes the Mishnah Melech and says, that's what Tosafot labeled as an Ol Zorot. Even though it's not quite the Rambam's Ol Zorot of a plane that's flying through the air, but so the box is not making contact with the ground itself. However, says the Mishnah Melech, what would the halacha be in the following case? What if a person was placed inside a box, and you put wheels in the box, or you just drag the box along the ground itself? So now the box is, what do you say, stationary, but it's touching the ground, it's connected to the ground. So comes the Mishnah Melech and says, it would appear to him that Tosus would concede that's not considered to be an Ol Zorok. Tosus does not go as far as the Rambam. The Rambam will limit Ol Zorok only if it's mamash suspended in air, nobody's touching it, it's being tossed over the basic varas. So Tosus said, no, that's already too much. It's considered to be an Ol Zorok even if it's not tossed in the air, provided that it is in the air, provided that it's not making physical contact with the ground itself. The Kozman is making contact with the ground, says Tosfos, that's not considered to be an Ol Zorot L'chol HaDeis, at least the Das HaTosfos. This is the Mishnah Melech Chiddush Gadol.
Even if the wheels were so big and it was over, 10 Am or whatever, it still wouldn't be an Ol Zorot?
I think so, according to the Rambam's Lashon, is that Ol Zorot Ba'avir, that's the way the Rambam presents the Sugya.
Don't we have an Indian in carrying and other Indianim that over a certain height, it's not considered,
Those are technical details in terms of the Shabbos that's not considered to be like part of the Rishus HaRabah and once it's above 10 Tzvach, and then I'm not sure what those halachas we carry over here in terms of the Stuma. So this is the Mishnah Melech Chiddush B'Da'as HaTosfos, and others don't accept this. Tosfos doesn't say it. Tosfos doesn't draw any distinctions. Tosfos doesn't say that Hochma Ma'askin is only called an Ol Zorach if it's not in contact with the ground, but this is the Mishnah Melech Chiddush B'Da'as HaTosfos. So in light of what we now know in terms of the three shitas in the Rishonim, in terms of defining Ol Zorach, and in terms of the Mishnah Melech's qualification with B'Da'as HaTosfos, let's try to analyze one of the common shailas in terms of Ol Zorach that comes up, and that's the issue of a car. So what would that look in the following case? I had a shaila many, many times. I was just discussing the shaila with my kids yesterday. We were driving in Queens, there was no Kew Garden Hills, so down Main Street. So if you go down, when you get off the LIE and you're going towards the cemetery. So there's Mount Zion, if I'm not mistaken, I think is a cemetery on your right hand side. So it's a Jewish cemetery. And there are trees that are protruding over the road. So the question is, can a kohen go there? So for the kohen to actually walk there would be a very, very serious problem, because there's an altar. There are trees, there are branches, which are spreading over him as well as over the kavarim. So that would be a problem. Question is, can the kohen go in his car? We'll close the windows of the car, so the tumah can't spread. So the question is that true? Can the tumah spread or not? Can the tumah spread through the totally closed car? So at first glance, we have an issue of Ol Zorach on our hands. So does the car, can the closed car serve as an Ol HaMafsik or not? So let's try to analyze the sheet and see what comes out. So, l'chora, according to the Rambam, we're okay. According to the Rambam, a car is not the sugya of Ol Zorach. According to, if the guy's driving so fast that he's hydroplaning in the water, like yesterday's thunderstorms, you can back and drive a little bit, you can be flying. But a normal guy's driving, so according to the Rambam, it's not a problem, as long as everything is closed. If the windows are open, so that's going to be a very serious problem, because as long as if the windows are open more than a tefach, that's called the pasach tefach, which is maybe a satuma. So it's only considered to be an olam mafsik if it's totally enclosed. But then the guy's windows are closed, the doors closed, everything's closed, and he's just driving through the cemetery, driving into the trees of the cemetery. So l'chora, according to the Rambam, that would be all right, because that's not considered to be even in the sugya of Ol Zorach. However, what about according to the other Rishonim? So according to Rabbi Chananel, we mentioned yesterday, the extreme sheet who says that even if something is actually stationary, but it could potentially move, that's considered to be an Ol Zorach, that would be a disaster. Even according to Rabbi Chananel, even if it's in a red light, according to Rabbi Chananel, you're not moving, you're just sitting in the car, that would be a problem. But let's put aside for a minute the two extreme shittas in the sugya. The Rambam's cooler, the Rechananel's chumrah. Let's go with the root of Taisus and Asugya, the more conventional wisdom, tells the shita that it's considered to be an Ol Zorach, even if it's not in midair. So over that would be a problem, that the car would be labeled as an Ol Zorach, because the car is the halakha equivalent of the box that's being carried by the four people in Asugya, and that's exactly what the Gemara calls an Ol Zorach. However, maybe the Mishnah Melech, right? That if the Mishnah Melech is right, that Taisus concedes that if the Ol itself is making contact with the ground, so even the Balei Taisus would concede that's not called an Ol Zorach. So maybe we're in for business. Maybe that would be mutter, even according to the Shittas of Taisus. It would be a little bit of an interesting, lumdish, mechanical kind of a shaila. I mean, the Mishnah Melech was talking about a case of a box that's being dragged along the ground. So the Mishnah Melech says if the box is being dragged along the ground, that's not called an Ol Zorach. That's going to be mafsik even according to Taisus. So how do you view the car and the wheels? Is a lumdish shaila. Are the wheels considered to be part of the car, or the wheels considered to be a separate entity? If the wheels are part of the car, so then that's called the box being dragged along the ground. That's not an Ol Zorach. If you hold it, the wheels are just holding up the car, so maybe the wheels would be like the four people who are holding up the box, and that would be called an Ol Zorach. That would be at the check. I don't know which car company to ask these days, but if you find a car company that's still functioning, so you should ask them what's the nature of the relationship between the wheels at the bottom of the car and the car itself.
Why it should be mechubah? I mean, the wheels themselves, do get too much?
The wheels themselves, maybe. They're,
I mean,
you're asking if the Dover have a Kabbal Tuma, it can't be mafsik the fair Tuma.
I mean, if the wheels transmit the
Tuma. Oh, okay, oh, those are just a whole different story, a whole different game. Let me get to that in a second, Dover and Kabbal Tuma. So I would be willing to suggest that if the Mishnah Melech Pshat and Taisus is right, so So then maybe the car would be okay. That would be a dove, that would be a not labeled as an olzarek because it's being dragged along the ground.
But wouldn't there be a distinction made that if the car itself went through the cemetery, be on a higher level of tumah than the car going underneath a tree that was overhanging from the cemetery, but the car is not on the cemetery?
I was to say, but if the trees are in ohels, then that's considered by going under the olamais.
It's exactly this. There's no lesser.
Yeah, I mean, why is the cemetery tameh? Well, a person walks in a cemetery and he's not walking over a kever, so why does he become tameh? The only way he becomes tameh if he's in the cemetery and he's not walking over a kever is because there are trees that are overhanging both of them.
If it's open, then there's no issue?
There's
no tree. You're walking to something, you're not walking over a kever, but you're walking along the road of the
If you're in a road and you're not within Dalet Amos, there's another din of Dalet Amos, you're not allowed to be within Dalet Amos of a mace. Well, you know, Chanan, right, there would be no trees. There would be no trees, and you would be Dalet Amos away from the inside a quote unquote cemetery. In and of itself, it's not a problem. I wouldn't recommend for a coin to be there because it's very hard to be Mashiach. So, anyway, so how should we pass it in the Shaila? Do we have a right to be naked like this Mishnah Melech with Asatosis? So, question is, what are the other extenuating factors? So,
if this fits right into the language of
Tosfos,
he has no problem with the text.
Tosfos is talking about the person who's carrying it, I think. I don't know. So how should we pass it in halacha? So probably we have to take into consideration how serious are we about all Zorak in the first place. So now the Pnei Yeshua's issue comes back to life. So if you go to the root of the Pnei Yeshua, this whole Shah is a Chum Midra Bon anyway. Midat Torah, none of it's the problem. Midat Torah, anything is a Mafsik. Even an all Zorak, Mamash, even the Ram's all Zorak would be Mafsik Midat Torah. So if you go to the root of the Pnei Yeshua, that we're only on a level of the Rabbanan here, so then it's only the Rabbanan, so you can start to collect Shitas. According to the Ram, it's not a problem because it's not Zorak Ba'avir, and even according to Tosfos, maybe it's not a problem. Maybe the Shlomo's right, and maybe you could even throw back to what we mentioned in passing yesterday, that even though we've been working with the assumption that Zorak is Lav Shemei Oel, that's only one Tana, the Mechlekes HaTanoim. So most of the Rishonim Paskin like that Tana, but the Rashba disagrees. The Rashba holds that we Paskin that Zorak is Shemei Oel. So if you're if you look at the Sugya through the glass, through the lenses of the Pnei Yeshua, the whole thing is the Rabbanan. How come you recall the whole issue is the Rabbanan? So then you can start to be naked a little bit, perhaps. You can start to collect Shitas. You have Mishnah Melech with Asatosis, and you have a possible Rambam, and you have a possible Rashba. Maybe you wouldn't be that concerned. But if you go the root of most of the Rishonim, as we mentioned yesterday, most of the Rishonim did not assume that this is a Chumah Midr Rabbanan. How do we know that they didn't assume that way? Because they were bothered with the kasher from the boards of the Paraduma, and each one of them bent over backwards to give you a different answer. Like Yitzhak gave his lumbus with the Pshitikli Eitz from yesterday, and Tosfos gave their lumbus with the cow's stomachs from yesterday, and the Rambam gave his lumbus that it's not the Avi. Every Rishon had another solution to the problem. The Pasha says for most of the Rishonim that they were working with the assumption that Ol Zorak is a Sugya D'Oraisa. If Ol Zorak is a Sugya D'Oraisa, then we start to shake a little bit more. Now, wait a second, that's so poshut. You have the even though it's the Rambam's Mekel, or Ben Chana also Shom Machmir, even though the Mishnah Melech claims that Tosfos is Mekel, but others claim Tosfos is Machmir. So we're going to beat up a Rashba for Das Yochid, the Rashba Neiriv and the Paskin, that all the Shmei Ayom, Rubu the Rishon didn't accept it. So Lechor, depending on what your take on the Sugya is, whether you look at the Sugya through the lens of the Pnei Yeshua, who was very Mekel of the Sugya, or you look at it through most of the Rishon, who were very Machmir, that's going to have a big impact upon how you're going to Paskin Melech. But there is another issue that has to really be analyzed properly in terms of the Messias, and I try to analyze it at one time, saying I'm still not 100% sure I have the right answer to the question. And that's the issue Dr. Belzar is raising. That, if you remember, we started off the sugi yesterday, we said that Olo Zorak, whether it's Shmei Olo or Lashmei Oel, is assuming that it meets all the other criteria of an Olo Mafsik. So one of the basic criteria of Olo Mafsik is it has to be something that's not Makabel Tumah itself. Anything that itself is Makabel Tumah is out of the question. Not even in the ballpark of being Mafsik, even if it's totally stationary. It's nailed down, it's not going anywhere. But if it's a Dover Makabel Tumah, so a Dover Makabel Tumah is a Mishnah, which says all those that ain't a Mafsik within that Tumah. That's why, remember we said yesterday, that's why the box in our Sugya, the Shita Teva Migdal, was a big box. That's what the Rishon said. It's more than 40 Saw, because it would be a Kli Eitz, which is very large, bigger than the size of a Mikvah, happens not to be Makabel Tumah. So there's no question in our sugya that this sheet of paper migdal is not makabel tuma. The machlekes is atanoim and the rishonim is, even though it's not makabel tuma, maybe it's still problematic because it's an oil zorak. But something which is makabel tuma is out of the ballpark. So chora, we have a question when it comes to a car. Is a car davar makabel tuma or not? What's it in? Can a car, subject to tuma? So the fact that the car is large, it's more than 40 saw, that doesn't matter. Because the klal, the din of 40 saw not being makabel tuma was only said by a kli 8, wasn't said by a kli matechas, wasn't said by a metal kli. So a metal kli is always makabel tuma, so it's the shayla. Father car is makabel tuma. If a car is makabel tuma, then it's up the creek, and you know, then there's nothing to discuss anymore. You can't even begin the sugya of ol zorak. Even if it's not an ol zorak, it's still not mafsik b'fer tuma, because it itself is makabel tuma. But the shayla is that true. Is a car makabel tuma, or is there some reason that a car is not makabel tuma? What's the issue? If it's a kli matechas, or the poskim pashas matos, kli matechas is makabel tuma. Well, not so simple. The Torah pashas matos spells out that a metal kli is makabel tuma, and the Torah goes out of its way to give you six examples of what are considered to be metal kalim. So achas azov, yes, the kosef, the choshes, the barzel, the bilvav, the forest, gold and silver and copper and lead. The Torah spells out six different types of metals which are makabel tuma. So there's a big machlekes acharonim as to what's pshat of that list. The Torah gives us six different examples of Kabbalah's Tumah vis-a-vis Kli Matchas. So one can raise the following shayla. Does that mean only these six? The Kabbalah's Tumah is a Gerasa Kosov. You can't hear alumnus go say Torah is a Tumah. The Torah says these six things are Makabal Tumah. The same way the Torah says wood is Makabal Tumah, but Minat Torah glass is not Makabal Tumah. Or the Torah says that Kli Cheres is Makabal Tumah. So come a group of Achrayim and say, these six metals, at can below Yosha. And other Achrayim say, what do you mean these six metals? These six are examples of metals. These are the types of metals that are the most common in the Chazal and the ways of the Torah. So the Torah gives six different examples of metals. But these are not to the exclusion of all other metals. Anything that's in the metal family. So we know what metal is. The first day of high school chemistry. So remember all the properties of metals. Metals are malleable, and metals conduct electricity, and metals, and then the electrons, and then which column of the table of elements, they're all the same column. Remember when I was in high school, so you spent the whole year, you know, learning the periodic table of elements. You had Dreyzach with this, that, all the old elements that were there from Shechem Ephraesius, all the new elements are being found every day. And you know, you spend the entire year thinking that the whole world has little electrons, you know, surrounded by rings and everything. And you're sure that if you just have a powerful enough microscope, you would actually see those electrons floating around. Then it's the last day of school, so the teacher tells you that the whole thing is not true. That the whole thing is only a model. It's just Lysippers. I was in, you know, electron rings, and there's no, the whole thing is, I don't know, that's what they told me in high school. I don't know what they're up to now in terms of the electrons. But anyway, according to the periodic table of elements, so the metals have certain qualities, certain properties to them. So some achrenim say anything that's on that list is considered to be a metal, up the aloha. Hey, it's not zov, it's not kes, it's not nechosh. It doesn't matter. If it looks like a metal, talks like a metal, acts like a metal, reacts like a metal, that's considered to be a metal up the aloha, and it would be makabel tuma. That's quite a machlekes acharonim. So my nafkamina in that machlekes. A tremendous nafkamina, Ladina. Other kinds of metals, some of them that are not on the list, some of them didn't even exist in the days of Moshe, in the days of Chazal. So the most common shayla for us, what would the din be about aluminum? Is aluminum makabel tuma or not? So that's a shayla, not just in terms of tumah v'tahara. Ramesh has a shayla about tefilas kelim, because the parsha tefilas kelim is also the same parsha. Parsha matos of zav kesef and choshes. The Ramesh paskins the kula in the shayla. Ramesh says that the chiyuv to be tevil aluminum is not min haTorah because it's not one of the six metals. If it's zav kesef and choshes, etc., then it's chayv in tefilah min haTorah. If it's not on the list, then it's not going to be any more chomer than glass. Glass is only a chomer in the rabban if it's tefilas kelim. So aluminum is only in the rabban, and also Ramesh says. Others disagree. Others say no. Aluminum is mamish like gold and silver. It's chayv in tefilah min haTorah. So that's going to have chorach ab nafkamina in terms of hilchos tumah v'tahara as well. Can an aluminum structure, an aluminum kli, be masik b'fnei haTumah or not? So if you hold that aluminum is not on the list of six metals, so it's not makabel tumah. It's not, it qualifies as a davar, a mafsik, a fnei haTumah. And then you have to discuss the shayla in terms of is it a ol zorak or not. But if you hold an aluminum, even though it's not on the technical list, it's a metal up your din, it acts like a metal, and therefore Api Aloch is considered to be a metal, so then it's not Masik Lefanei Truma, so the discussion's over. It's a moot. Everything we've been talking about for the last 2 days, it's been nice lumbos for getting nice last day, end of the year sugya, but irrelevant, because if it's Makabal Truma, then it's a done deal. It's never going to be Masik Lefanei Truma. So this is a running machloekis. So the question is, where do the cars fit into this picture? So what are cars made of? So the problem is that cars are not made of aluminum. Cars are made partially of aluminum, but the body of the car is steel. So steel is iron. Steel is just heated up iron. So a kli bar is the closest to a couple of them. That's one of the six metals. So now we're back up the creek. That a car that's made out of iron, that's made out of steel, which I'll feed in, is the same as iron. So the car is not, the car is Makabal Tuma. So the car is never going to be Masik Lefanei Tuma. It's never going to be Masik Lefanei Tuma. So who cares whether it's an El Zarek or not? The whole Shail Damu, who cares if Mishnah Melech and Tyson, the Rams and Melech, the whole thing is irrelevant because it's made out of metal and the metal is the Masik is a Tuma. However, when we were learning this sugya in California a couple of summers ago, we were doing this, so the sugya that was calling him. So I had one of the guys print out for me about how to make a car in 5 easy steps. So it's not so simple. Through the base of the car, the body of the car is iron, is steel, but there is a lot of aluminum in the car. Also, there are other materials that coat the car, that are on the outside of the car. So you have to be provided. If someone could find out this information, I'd appreciate it. A guy sitting in a car, bottom line, is he surrounded totally with other materials besides the steel? Is he totally surrounded with aluminum and glass and other things? Or are there parts where he's only surrounded with the steel? So if there are parts that he's only surrounded with the steel, then the whole thing is multiple, the whole issue is a moot issue, then the car vada is not massive between the atuma and there's nothing to discuss. But if the person is totally enclosed with aluminum and enclosed with the glass, enclosed with other materials that perhaps aren't going to be makabel tuma, then you can begin to discuss the issue. Then you have to put one in terms of the old Zorik Shaila. So Lemaisa, there is a tshuva in the Tzitz Eliezer where he is not lahakel on the Shabbos cars. That this was there was a big issue in Eretz Yisrael 34 years ago. It was a whole issue that one of the roads that was built right through a basic forest or something. I don't know exactly what the in our Zaytim, that was the issue. It was the issue in our Zaytim. So this was a hot issue at the time. I think the Tzitz Eliezer was not lahakel. That he was assuming that the cars for some reason were not makabel tuma. And he was going to be maker with the Mishnah Melech and others, but maybe it's not considered to be an old Zorik. And many posts can disagree with him on this. So usually when I tell people, in terms of the Shaila, I tell them that there's not such a tremendous tzarech to be maker on the Shaila. I think that the more correct thing to do is to be machmer, and that a kohen should be careful, should not drive in these types of areas where he's going to be in contact through an olam eis. He shouldn't necessarily rely on the mekilim. I remember I had a Shaila once. 20 years ago, so I was driving back from camp, and I was giving a ride to somebody, and we were driving around the thruway, and we realized we were going neck and neck with a levaya, and it happened to be when we saw from the hearse, it was a Jewish levaya, and we were, the way the traffic and pattern ended up, we were literally sitting under the overpass at the same time that the hearse was sitting under the overpass. So I turned around to the guy, I said, okay, Baruch Hashem, there's no cone in the car. The guy said, yeah, except for me. He said, I didn't realize the guy was a Kohen. So the guy said he was a Kohen. So I said that I told him the good news, that according to most Poskim, I think he just became Tommy Thomas Mace. He said, I can't do anything about it. What do you want me to do? We throw you out of the car now, what should I do? Stop the car and drive on the highway. So it's a Pikuch Nefesh. So this was the Shaila, that we're mamish under the same overpass, that the hearse or our car is not going to be a Dara Masik and Fnei Tuma. According to many of the Poskim, who were saying either because the car is a Makapa Tuma, or because it's an old Zorg, we're going to
bed. But the mace was in a box. No.
But yeah, but the box doesn't, the box doesn't count. As the Gemara says in Brachis, that even if in a Torah, even if there's a Pesach Tefach, even if there's a Tefach opening between where the mace is and where the box is, in order to be a Dover Mouse, there has to be a Tefach of empty space. So even if there really is empty space between the top of the mace and the box, the Rabbanan, they said that an Aron is not considered to be a Dover Mouse. It's the sugya beginning of the third pack of brachos, so the Aron doesn't play a role over here. So Lulu, what can you do about it? So it happened. It happened. So the guy became tummy. So somebody called me recently with a shaila that there was a whole story. A guy wanted to go to the unveiling of his of a parent, and the whole family wasn't from. And if he doesn't, so if he'll go and explain to them that they can go in the car and stay in the closed car or something, so then there's a chance so maybe the other people will listen and they'll stay in the car with him. But if he tells them he can't go, so then they're just going to get out. They'll get out of the car. So the question is, should he be makel with the titz aliyazah, with the peyashuas, with the kulas that we said, in order to help other kohanim avoid mamash being mitameh midaraisa? That's a very technical. How much am I supposed to be makel to save other people from doing things which are totally also came a very very lomdish type of a shayla. So again, these shaylas happen all the time. So a lot of it revolves around whether this is really an ozar, according to the Rambam, that it's to be makel. Again, putting aside the Kabbalah's Tumah issue, according to the Rambam, you could be more makel. According to the Mishnah Rabbah, Dasa Tosus, it becomes a little bit more makel. But according to the others, according to the mainstream approach of Tosus, so this would be a problem. Everybody would agree that a plane would be a problem, because a plane is Mamzor Bavir. So even according to the Rambam, that would be a problem. Even according to Mishnah Rabbah, Dasa Tosus, it would be a problem. So a plane wouldn't be a Dovra Mavsik. So this was another Shia that the Post would discuss.
In the plane, the big problem in the plane. In Al-Al, there's a very high likelihood that you're...
No, that's for sure. If there's a mace on the plane, that's different.
If the body is in the cargo bay, yeah, and there is a partition between the cargo bay and the rest of the plane...
But the problem is that's all Zorak, though. That any partition is moving. The whole plane's moving. So Tasha says that the not to be a Dovra Masik. It's considered to be within one big clean. That would be a problem. The issue is if you're you're not flying a lot, you're flying another airline, but you're flying over a cemetery. So is that a problem? The mere fact you're flying over a cemetery, the tomb is Bukha, is Ola Larakia. So if the plane is an Ola Mafsik, so the plane is not considered to be a Dover Mafsik, fair tomb is that. For Shia, the post can discuss what possible this was. There was a big issue also there, I just saw about this recently, about one of the flight paths was going right over a cemetery. This was another Shia. I remember, it was back about 25 years or so, when they dedicated the Marcus Katz Kollel, she was in the third floor, they said that she was first hall, so they had a whole Yom Iyun about in Yom Rav Kahuna. Marcus Katz was a Kohen, so he came for the day. So one of the shiurim was about this topic, about whether a Kohen is permitted to fly or not. And it was a little bit humorous, he had just flown from Mexico to dedicate the Kollel, so I think they were trying to keep him hostage, he shouldn't go back. That was one of the shiurim was dedicated to that topic about what's the possible term off for the client to fly over a basic first. Okay, I guess we can make a siyum on the first day's bottom of the Gittin, and we make an official siyum on it. But I think we're finished for the season, so I wish everybody a good summer. I think we're on the Chesed Sabbatim next year, that's what they tell us. Hopefully, Mitzvah next year, but we'll be in touch when the shiur will start.
There's no shiur tonight or Friday.
Tonight there's no shiur, and I think they're on the summer schedule already. And the shiur on Friday, I think we finished already. And there'll be one more Sunday morning given to Abraham, and this Sunday, then we're.
There's no shiur Friday.
There's no today. Shiur, sure, we're over for the year.